You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, Greeny, rolling along with you here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're live at the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Just making sure you know, if you are tuning in because you want to hear my thoughts on our loss yesterday, on losing Chris Mortensen. We did that for about 20 minutes. If you would like to listen to it later today, you can hear it on the podcast. It would be in the middle of hour number one of our 2-hour podcast today. And we spent about 20 minutes, each of us and me in particular, sharing our own personal memories of one of my absolute favorite people that I've ever known, regardless of working in this line of work or anything else. He was just as good a man as you could ever possibly come across. So we did that earlier today, and beyond that, we're doing our show as we normally would. There's been a lot of football conversation so far. We were very frustrated in getting wrong a trivia question that I think we should have gotten right. And then we move our way over to two different numbers from this weekend. So you tell me, do you want to start with Caitlin Clark or do you want to start with LeBron?
I'd rather start with Caitlin Clark.
Okay, let's start with Caitlin Clark, who has done the impossible. I'm old enough to remember a time when, if you were a passionate sports fan in America, you were absolutely unaware of women's college basketball. It was not on the radar. In the 1970s, people didn't know practically anything of it. And that was not misogynistic, it was not sexist, it was nothing like that. It just wasn't something that was part of the zeitgeist in any meaningful way. Caitlin Clark has done the impossible. She right now may legitimately be as big a sports star as we have in our culture. And if you had told the little kid that I was growing up once that was going to happen, I would have said, wow, that doesn't seem like something that will happen in my lifetime. And here it is. God bless her. She's unbelievable. And the mark she leaves now on college sports, however her season ends, and maybe she winds up winning a championship. People who know the sport way better than I do suggest her team last year was much better than the team she has this year. Last year, when they made it all the way to the Final Four and everything else, that she had a much better chance of leading them to a title last year than she did this year. But we've seen incredible things happen. I remember Danny Manning, Danny and the Miracles, when he led Kansas to a championship. No one thought he could, but he was just that good, and they found a way to win it. Maybe she does. Either way, by now you're probably aware that she yesterday passed Pete Maravich and has now scored more points in Division I college basketball than any man or woman who ever lived. And that is a mind-boggling statistic. It's a mind-boggling record to break. Hembo, I won't steal your thunder. I thought you put it very well in a tweet that I saw you post a little while ago about the one of the best ways to measure the magnitude of a record. It might sound like an obvious thing to do, but I don't think we do it often enough, is to judge it based on how long it stood. Long-standing records, by definition, are special. And look how long that record stood.
So Jim Brown's rushing record stood for 21 years. Gordie Howe's points record for 26, Henry Aaron's home run record for 33, and Kareem's scoring record for 39, just for some perspective.
So let's not go through that quickly. So the record that Jim Brown had for most career rushing yards, say it again, lasted how long?
It lasted for 21 years.
21 years. From
Walter
the time
Payton.
He broke it
mm-hmm.
until Walter Payton broke his record, that was 21 years. Say the next one again.
Gordie Howe's for 26.
Gordie Howe's all-time points record stood 26 years. Think about it. That's a long time, 26 years.
Henry Aaron's home run record stood for 33.
33 years. Now, we all understand the controversy that surrounded the breaking of it, but even so, 33 years. And finally,
and perhaps as hollowed as any, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record in the NBA stood for 39 years.
Kareem was the all-time leading scorer in NBA history from whatever point at which he broke that record during his career until LeBron James broke it last year. 39 years, almost four decades of the sport came and went, and no one scored as many points as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar until LeBron came. It is a great way to measure the magnitude of a record. Now finish it.
Pete Maravich's scoring record for NCAA career lasted for 54 years.
It's 15 years longer than
54
Jabbar.
Years. It is a staggeringly large number. The kind of record that I never thought could or would fall, because anyone good enough would never play college basketball long enough to do it, to even approach it. Caitlin Clark did it in 4 years, a little bit less than 4 years. Yes, I'm aware that Maravich did it in three. He did it without the three-point line. But we can also keep in mind that the scoring environments were very different then. The game was a lot faster then. There were more points scored then. And Pete Maravich never even played in the NCAA tournament. He was the, no offense to the Maraviches, he was a good stats, bad team guy, always. Caitlin Clark is doing this. And her team was super close to winning a national championship last year because of her. They beat Ohio State yesterday, a top five team in the country, because of her. It is my opinion that Caitlin Clark, relative to her peers, Greeny, is the best athlete in America right now. Full stop. Any sport. That includes Ohtani. It includes Mahomes. It includes Ledecky. It includes McDavid. It includes Simone Biles. It includes everybody. Which is to say, the differential between Caitlin Clark and the average Division I women's basketball player, or better yet, the differential between Caitlin Clark and the second best player in the country, is a freaking chasm. It is a larger gap than the difference between the best player in any sport that you choose and whoever might rank second in that sport. Right now, she has absolutely lapped the field, and there is a nation of adoring fans that love her for it.
So look, I mean, she's changing the world of that, all that stuff. You don't need me to tell you that, and there are people who will understand it far better than I do, but the number of young women, girls who are growing up and will fall in love with that sport and will try to play it, some of whom will wind up being great players that follow in her footsteps, 10 times that number, 100 times that number will become fans of the sport because of her and will continue to watch and support it forever. So she's changing the sports landscape in a million different ways. Full stop. Let's go back to what you just said.
Mm.
I'm not the right person to answer, to respond to what you just said. So when we wrote our book, the one from last year, we said, and I didn't even think it was that controversial, that Wayne Gretzky was the greatest athlete in the history of North American team sports, because there was zero question in anyone's mind that he was number one in hockey. Whereas there's any number of debate. I believe Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time, but tons of people who are credible will argue on behalf of LeBron James, et cetera, et cetera. We look through everything, like Bobby Orr, Gordy Howe, Mario Lemieux, whoever else you want to say. No one doesn't say Wayne Gretzky was the greatest player. Baseball doesn't have that guy. Football doesn't have that guy. Jerry Rice is a weird one. Football, every position is so specialized. So that was our thinking. That was my thinking in saying that. And I didn't even think it was a particularly big statement. And then, as you and I discovered when we started doing media for the book, that's what everyone was asking us about, as though we were downplaying Jordan. Who do I think is the greatest player in the history of American team sports? I would say Jordan. But the argument can 100% be made, because no one's even close to Gretzky, that it's him. So you're saying that the distance between her and the second best player is greater than the distance in any other, let's just use team sports for the purposes of this conversation, in any other team sport right now, college or pro.
That's what I believe. I mean, over the last 4 years, the span of her career, she has outscored any man or woman in college basketball by nearly 1,000 points and has nearly 300 more assists than any man or woman in college basketball. The pushback I primarily received about this take was, look, you're underselling Ohtani. And I get it. He's the unicorn. But Caitlin Clark is the best scorer and the best passer in America. Shohei Ohtani is not the best hitter or the best pitcher in baseball. And if you just look at the amount of value that she provides relative to the field, candidly, there's a greater distance between what she's doing and what anyone else is doing. And that is even before you take into account the more qualitative impact that she's having on the world of sports.
Yeah, her impact on basketball, I don't think it's overstating it to say she could have a dream team-esque impact on basketball. The dream team brought millions, probably hundreds of millions, certainly tens of millions of people into the tent, if you will, made basketball fans out of people who otherwise weren't all over the world. Caitlin Clark is addressing, let's just use broad numbers here, half of the human population, of which I don't know what percentage of women in this country are hardcore basketball fans. It's far greater than it used to be. But that number is going to triple, quadruple, quintuple in the next 20 years because so many girls, and these videos are so heartwarming watching it. You see these videos of all of these girls, you know, you see them on, they pop up on my reels. I'm not sure, you know, who are watching and they're screaming and cheering, just watching TVs in their own houses and wearing her jersey and all that kind of stuff. It is a seismic event in the world of sports and a great one. And I think it is going to wind up, I'm not sure exactly what word to use to describe it. I think if women's basketball was a stock right now, I would buy as much of it as my broker could possibly get their hands on, because I think its value relative to its current state is going to explode in the next decade or two.
She is a phenomenon, but I can't quite...
It's not just her, by the way.
No.
But she is the biggest
part
of it.
She's the face of it, for sure. I can't quite put my hand on, though, like, exactly what it is about her, because we've seen extraordinary women's basketball players in college. I think it's a confluence of kind of right time, right place, and the manner in which she plays, I think, provides sort of a Steph Curry-like effect, but I'm having a difficult time describing the phenomenon. Like, my wife, for example, has never sat and watched a basketball game with me that she would not rather read her Kindle instead of watch. And she watched Caitlin Clark break that record yesterday emotionally. My wife, Lizzie, has never sat down and actually watched an NBA game with me or a March Madness game or anything of the kind. And she was riveted by what was happening on Fox during that game. And it's not something I could quite put my hand on, like, I can't quite grasp it, but it is exceedingly evident. It's almost like Taylor Swift-esque or something of that magnitude.
Yeah, she is, I think, I don't know how we judge these things. You could make an argument she's as big a star as we have in our world of sports right now. Greeny brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. What a play. Quickly, and we don't need to do it quickly, but LeBron James reaching the 40,000 point plateau, you know, for people who consider ourselves historians, students of the history of the sport. Kareem Abdul, you just said that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record lasted 39 years. I would have bet you every cent I had that it would never be broken. I didn't think anyone would play long enough. Now, look, just as we can quantify certain things, Kareem spent 4 years in college and all that, and so LeBron started his NBA career far younger than Lou Alcindor / Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did. But the number is still mind-boggling. 40,000 points as an NBA player. He is going to put that record, because I don't think he's that close to done. I think we will see LeBron play at least another 2 to 3 seasons. He is going to, at a very high level, he's playing all NBA first team caliber level right now. I think he's going to put that record at a number that we would never have fathomed.
Mind-boggling. I'm just going to give you a couple quick numbers that sort of drive home the longevity.
I'd say, what, hold it. Because I'm up against it.
These are amazing.
I am saying, I want you to tease it over. Hold those numbers. We'll come back. If you're not already convinced that what LeBron James has done is worthy of extraordinary attention, then we're going to disabuse you of that notion in just a moment. We also have a little more sneaky hembo for you today. Go.
LeBron became the first player to reach 40,000 points. Wilt Chamberlain was the first player to reach 30,000 points. My question is, who was the first player in NBA history to reach 20,000 points? That's the question.
That's a good one. It was Chamberlain to 30. Who was the first to 20? The answer's next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Got a lot working here all at one time. In 30 seconds, we'll pay off the trivia. Then we will run through some of the LeBron numbers. And then I will read you by far my favorite tweet of the weekend. It took me a while to convince myself it wasn't a joke. Anyway, we'll do that after this word from Vivid Seats. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats. Your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase, from buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. All right, Hembo, go.
LeBron became the first player to reach 40,000 points, as you know. Wilt Chamberlain was the first player to reach 30,000 points. And so my question is, who was the first player in NBA history to reach 20,000 career points?
All right. I feel like if any of us is going to get this, it should be me.
Yeah, this is a little before my time.
It's a little before my time, too. Yeah. What are you suggesting?
Tim's not having a good day on trivia.
Are you suggesting that Wilt Chamberlain getting to 30,000 points was during my time?
Don't you remember it well?
How old do you think I am? Wilt Chamberlain would have reached the 30,000 point plateau sometime around 1970.
Doing the math here.
Yeah, do it. You keep doing it. All right, you have a guess? You know, throw a name out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like going with
your earliest basketball knowledge. You're going to throw out like Dominique Wilkins or something? Like, who? Give me a name.
Tracy McGrady. No, I'm kidding. I'm going with Mad Dog's favorite player, Bob Cousy.
Bob. Okay, it's not pronounced Cousy.
Bob Cousy?
But that's okay. It's Bob Cousy.
Like couscous.
It's a soft S or whatever. It sounds more like a Z. Bob Cousy.
That's not a soft S. That's a hard S.
I used the soft S.
Cousy is a soft S. Cousy is a hard S.
Cousy.
Well, whichever one it is, he was wrong and I was right.
Right.
So,
it's not a soft C.
He said it wrong.
Not a soft S.
All right, Bubba.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Bubba does not like this question.
I'm going to go with another Celtic, although I have no concept of what this timing is, John Havlicek.
Okay. I thought about him.
Yeah, I mean, Havlicek scored more points in a Celtic uniform than Larry Bird or Bill Russell. He just the timing of it would not line up well, because he was younger than Wilt Chamberlain. Do Jack and Brandon have guesses?
Yes, Brandon texted me Pistol Pete, and Jack texted me Bob Pettit.
Okay, so I'm very bad at logic. So let me just think through the logic of this. If Chamberlain got to 30,000, and we know he didn't get that close to 40,000, it means he got there at the very end of his career, right? That means that he would have gotten to 20,000. I'm trying to put the math, you know, two-thirds of the way into his career. That suggests to me this record has to have been set at 1960 or earlier, or the very early 60s at the latest. Because I was thinking, could it have been like Oscar Robertson or someone like that doing it concurrently with him, and he just got there like a week before Wilt Chamberlain did? But the fact that Chamberlain got to 30 but didn't get to 40 suggests to me that it would have been earlier than that. If my logic, is my logic right?
Your logic is right.
Okay. So that's how I was trying to think this through. So there are two names that come to my mind there. One of them is George Mikan, and the other one is Paul Arizin, who I think was really the greatest early scorer in basketball history. Mikan was the first genuinely great player, the first immortal center and all that stuff. I just don't think people scored as many points then. I don't feel like Mikan would be right. I love the question. I'm the only person in America who loves the question.
How is that? That's not true.
Mad Dog would love the question.
Mad Dog would love the question.
Get Chris Russo in here. He would love this question. I'm going to guess Paul Arizin.
And the correct answer is Bob Pettit.
Oh.
Wow, Jack.
How about Jack?
Jeez.
That is really...
Jack's hardly old enough to remember LeBron playing.
That's exactly right.
That's crazy.
Bob Pettit.
Do you suspect foul
play? You looked it up? Do we think he looked it up?
Does anyone in Bristol suspect foul play?
I don't think so. I think what happened was he guessed Andy Pettit, and someone said, no, that's not
the right... Jack's a basketball guy.
Yeah,
so.
Jack is a basketball guy, and I think he's younger than you, Cam. So you basically, Cam, said, oh, I can't know that because it's before my time. And then Pineapple Jack, who I think just turned 17, got Bob Pettit
with
right.
With that setup of yours, I thought you were going to guess Chamberlain.
How
Oh, I didn't even
because
think of him on the
was
table.
The second person to do it. Now that would have been sneaky.
That would have been super sneaky. So Arizin didn't.
Arizin did not. Arizin wound up with 16,000 and change.
Damn it.
See, I think that question deserves more positive press than it has received amongst the group.
Yeah, what is this new thing? Every time you ask a question, you're like, that was a good question, right?
Because you guys often give me a hard time if you get them wrong or for some reason.
He's
find...
very defensive about his
This
questions.
Is like my thing. Like,
I have noticed
thing.
That anytime Graziano doesn't get it right on TV, Greeny says, I don't really know if that was a good question.
Yeah. You have found the heart of the problem.
By the way, Jack and Brandon are now doing a full post game over here. I hope that we're not interrupting you. Like, your conversation, candidly, is so loud.
Extremely distracting.
They're hearing it without the microphones. It's so loud right now. If you just opened up the window, you would hear Brandon and Jack over there celebrating their victory.
Brandon didn't even get it right.
Who did Brandon say?
He said
Pete Maravich.
Oh, he said Maravich.
Who came along after Chamberlain and also didn't get to 20,000
points.
Yeah.
And Cousy was not a scorer. But anyway, okay,
Cousy.
What are you going to do?
Cousy.
God, Bob Cousy. Okay, let's circle our way all the way back. That was a very disappointing trivia result as far as I'm concerned.
But a good question.
We did two trivia questions today, and the only person who got it right was Jack. Wow.
That should tell you everything you need to know.
Let's just cancel trivia. Yeah.
All right. Now, where were we here? So now you were going to give me numbers on LeBron James getting to 40,000.
These are just wow stats. So if you removed every three-pointer that LeBron has ever made, he would still have more total points than Michael Jordan. And if you removed every free throw that he ever made, he would still have more points than Dirk Nowitzki and Wilt Chamberlain. Lastly, LeBron James, within the next month, will have more career assists than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone combined, who ranked 2 and 3 all-time in scoring.
Yeah. Where is he on the all-time assist list? Because he's not that low. He's top 10.
I'll pull that up now.
Yeah. LeBron James is the most accomplished NBA player that ever lived.
He's fourth.
He's fourth all-time in assists.
Fourth.
He's first by a wide margin in points and fourth in assists. That's an almost impossible combination to fathom.
Cousy, by the way, is 21st in assists.
If you say Cousy one more time, I'm telling you, I'm replacing you with Jack.
LeBron James.
I think we're close to that anyway.
if we're going to talk about LeBron James,
come on, Sam.
In that way, if we're just going to start changing the
soft season,
or just the way we enunciate certain consonants
names
in the names of different people,
Bob Petit. We're delirious at this point. It's Monday at 11:30. We've already reached the point
Maravich's record.
Pete Maravich. It's pretty good.
Revolver Pete, not pistol.
Revolver Pete.
Well, now we're just changing everything, right?
That doesn't even make sense.
This is when you put the train back on the tracks.
Yeah, I don't think so. There was a great TV show once upon a time called WKRP in Cincinnati, which was a sitcom based on a rock and roll radio station in Cincinnati. And they were just funny things that happened. And they had a guy named Les Nessman who would do the news, and he knew nothing about sports. And once he was forced to read the sports. I forget what the setup of it was, but when he was reading through the golf scores, he said the tournament was won by Chai Rodriguez, who shot 4 under par. Perhaps Mr. Rodriguez will be up to par the next time.
What was his name? Les Nessman?
Les Nessman. Yeah. It was more music, Les Nessman. Anyway, so, but I've digressed now to a point where I don't even remember what we were talking about
LeBron
anymore.
Ranking 4th all-time
in
career
good.
Assists.
So here's the thing about LeBron is... If we're gonna name, I always used to say the most accomplished basketball player of all time was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because he was the greatest high school player ever. He was the greatest college player ever. He was the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He won 5 NBA championships and 6 MVP awards. LeBron James didn't LeBron James was, shall we call him his equal in high school? I mean, I don't know how they measure those things. LeBron James' high school career was about as good as a high school career can be. So let's even take that out of the equation. His NBA career, I mean, you just said it. I mean, he's first all-time in points, 4th in assists. He's won 4 championships. How many MVPs has he won? 4?
4 MVPs.
And he should have won more. That's why MVP is a bad stat, man. Regular season MVP is not a good stat, because they don't give it to the MVP mm-hmm. every year. They make it a narrative award. Michael Jordan should have won so many more MVPs than he did. It's not a good stat when you're measuring players' historical greatness, because LeBron James has definitely been the MVP of the league more than 4 times during his career, and Jordan should have won more, and others. Is LeBron the most accomplished basketball player of all time?
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
So the fact that he didn't, like Kareem played 3 years in college, is, I think, by everyone says, the greatest college player that ever lived, and won 3 national championships in college. That does not go into the equation anywhere?
I mean, it goes into the equation, but there is no question that what LeBron James has accomplished in totality is greater. I mean, it's so difficult to compare eras for the reasons that you mentioned, but this is what makes sports fun and what makes sports debate fun. LeBron James, right now at the age of 39, is averaging 25 points a game in the NBA.
Yeah.
It is impossible to believe what he has done. He is still great at basketball. LeBron James right now is better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in his early to mid-30s. Now, there are obviously plenty of advances in science and medicine and so many reasons why he has been able to do it. But when you also add to the fact that LeBron James, as you said before, was put on this earth to be the greatest point guard ever, that guy has 40,000 points.
Yeah.
LeBron James is the most accomplished player in basketball history, and the college piece of it to me is very much to the side.
So one of the questions Cam put on the document here is, are there any current players that could break that record? Right now, the next active players on the list are KD, who's at 28,000 points. James Harden is at 25,000, Russell Westbrook at 25,000. None of them are getting there. None of them are getting close.
Not close.
Because none of those guys are young. So we'd have to, if anyone is going to do it, it's going to be some young player. Numbers are exploding. There are more points being scored in the NBA now than ever have been before. So some of the young guys now who are scoring at a ridiculous rate, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, guys like that. But the thing is, their bodies have to hold up for 20 years. I mean, LeBron James' body has held up to, you just made the right point. He's one of the 5 best players in the world right now. He's 39. So that's unprecedented.
Here's a better way to do what we were trying to do earlier with the MVPs.
Go ahead.
We have a database that allows me to look at how high you finished, how high anyone has ever finished. And so what I did was I looked at the players that have the most top three MVP finishes, which is a better way of than saying how many MVPs did you win, because that's really noisy. All time, LeBron has 11 top three MVP finishes. That's first. Michael Jordan has 10, which is second. And then Magic Johnson, Bill Russell, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are tied with 9 such finishes. That is a really good way of doing that. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, I do like that. Like MVP is a complicated thing, so finishing that high is a good thing. Michael Jordan, his career was just shortened by so many unusual circumstances. Like, A, he played 3 years of college also, so he got to the NBA 2 or 3 years older. Well, much older, actually. LeBron didn't have to go. There wasn't even a 19 rule. LeBron was in the NBA when he was 18. Michael was probably 21 or 2. So for whatever that's worth. And then Michael retired for 2 years at his absolute pinnacle, his absolute prime, and then retired when he was still the best player in the league after the 98 championship because of all the craziness that was surrounding the sport then. So I think Michael, but you can't change history. Like, you can't say, well, if that hadn't happened, then he would be this or that or the other, because you just can't know it. You have to just take it for what it was at the time. I mean, LeBron, the best thing he's going to have going for himself in the GOAT debate, the best thing LeBron is going to have going for himself is his longevity. He's doing it at a higher level longer than anyone else ever has. Did I tell you my theory on why I still stay with Jordan? Because my son and his friends give me a hard time all the time. So my son, for you, Cam, you're a young person. How old are you?
26.
Who's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Jordan.
Your opinion is Jordan?
Yeah, it's almost weird for me to say a current player, even though it shouldn't be. But he's just so like legendary in my mind, even though I didn't watch him play, that I would go with him.
All right, but my point is, you were the same person who told me you couldn't answer a trivia question.
I did answer a trivia question.
Your time. But my point is that Jordan, who you did not see either, Michael Jordan might as well be Bob Cousy to you for however, you know, you're not able to see them. Why is it you put him above a guy like LeBron James?
I mean, they're much more recent than guys that played in the 50s or 60s. I know you're being somewhat facetious, but even as I was becoming a sports fan, it was just the legend of Michael Jordan, the perfection of his finals record, I think stands the test of time still to this day, despite all of the accomplishments that LeBron has surpassed him in.
Jack is wearing a Jordan shirt today. That doesn't say Jordan? Oh, it does.
Does he wear anything besides jerseys to work?
No, and he's wearing a Pirates hat.
Jeez.
You just said Jack is wearing a Jordan shirt today.
And you shook your head no, right? You were watching him, right?
And you shook your head no, and then you said, oh, yes, I am. I don't understand what the
Can you come to the microphone and just explain what happened? Don't walk around
long
way. Just walk.
It's a radio show, Jack.
Just walk up
Take
to the
time,
microphone
please.
And talk.
The last time I walked in front of the camera, he yelled at me for walking
in
front of the camera.
That is true.
So here's the question. I looked at you, and I said, Jack is wearing a Jordan shirt today.
Yes.
And you shook your head no.
Yes.
You are wearing a Jordan shirt.
Yes. I understood the implication, though.
Obviously
there's
not.
There's no implication.
Well, the next question, tell me if I'm wrong, honestly, was that means you think Jordan is the greatest player.
No. I was going to say, who do you think is the greatest player? See, you assuming you know where I'm going with this is a terrible strategy.
You were
on
leading
your part.
The jury.
If I ask you a question, just answer it. It's not that complicated.
But yes, it is.
I didn't even ask you a question. I made a statement.
I am not wearing a burgundy shirt.
And you disputed it for no reason. I said he's wearing a Jordan shirt today, and you went like this, which had to sidetrack the conversation because I thought, well, then what does that say? If it doesn't say Jordan, what does it say?
It does say Jordan.
So when I said, you're wearing a Jordan shirt, and you said no, you were just wrong.
You could say that.
You were just
you were wrong.
You were about your own shirt. You were presupposing, you were answering a question I hadn't asked you yet.
Well, yes. In your words, you didn't ask a question, so I couldn't have been wrong because there was no question asked.
No, but you just shook your head no. Which is the universal sign for...
No, my shirt doesn't say that.
You are speaking in error, Greeny, and thus it should be cleared up. WKRP on my screen. Okay, here's that moment I was telling you about. This is Les Nessman.
Winner of this week's Gulf Coast Golf Classic was Chai Chai Rodriguez. Chai Chai finished with a 9-under par score.
Chichi Rodriguez.
Hopefully, Mr. Rodriguez will play up to par in his next competition.
I mean, how about my memory? How about my remembering that? How close was I to on the money with those words?
You nailed that.
Verbatim.
So I got that skill. if having a recall of things that happened in 1970s sitcoms was something that I could monetize, I would have a lot.
Lord knows you need that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I could make more money. Well, if there was more money, I'm better at that. Well, I guess that's a whole other thing. Jack.
Is that a Phillies hat that you're wearing?
Right. What is that, a Pirates hat you're wearing?
It is a Pirates hat.
Yeah.
You're one for two today.
Yeah, you're a pip. And you got the trivia right today. All right, I got my favorite tweet maybe ever this weekend because it just redefines irony, and you'll hear it next on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. Had a lot going on here today. Did we get rid of Jack? Thank goodness. I mean, that was... Bubba, you should have seen it. I mean, I just was setting up the fact that he was wearing a shirt that said Jordan, and he just started shaking his head no. Hambo, you saw it, right? There was no way for me to ignore it.
Sadly, I can picture it.
So that was awful. Anyway, of all the things that happened this weekend, and if you were just joining us, we spoke at great length about our dear friend Chris Mortensen, whom we lost yesterday. And if you want to hear that, we spent about 20 minutes paying tribute to him. You can listen on the podcast later. It's in the middle of hour number one. And the rest of the morning, we've tried just to do, you know, the regular show that we would do for you here, despite the fact that it is a sad day. It felt weird walking in. I just felt strange today. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a death in the family.
It is.
That's exactly what it was.
It is. It's a death in the extended ESPN family. And I think all of us are feeling it. Like, it just hasn't... at no point did I feel normal today, including now. Like, there's a part of me that feels like it's not even right to be, like, doing all this other stuff. And then there's a part of me that feels like, what else can we do? Anyway, we paid our tribute to Mort a little earlier today, if you are tuning in to hear it. In the meantime, let's get to a tweet that I don't think it was intended to be ironic.
When you tweet all that stuff out, guess what? Down and out, we got it.
My favorite tweet of the day.
So, Reggie Bush, as you are well aware, won the Heisman Trophy, and it was subsequently taken from him because it was determined that Reggie and his family received what were then described as improper benefits. while he was at USC. And it was a much talked about case, and we certainly covered it like crazy back when it was hot and a hot topic, and I have never felt that they should have taken the trophy away from him in the first place. Reasonable minds have disagreed over the course of a long period of time. It has been a topic a long time. A lot of these things have been revisited by some in the new world of college sports, where all of a sudden the Heisman Trophy winners, the Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels of the world, are able to monetize that in really significant and meaningful ways. And I think it is worthy of people pointing that out. And does that, is that further evidence that they should give Reggie his trophy back? Reasonable minds can have that conversation. So one of the former Heisman winners has strongly gotten on board with that and tweeted the following. After careful thought and consideration, I will be humbly removing myself from the Heisman Trophy ceremony until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. It doesn't sit right with my morals and values that he can't be on that stage with us every year. Now, that is a courageous, not courageous, it's a strong, interesting, and I think potentially meaningful and important stand. That was tweeted by Johnny Manziel this weekend, who is, of course, is a Heisman Trophy winner, and like all the other Heisman winners, has the right to be there and to be a part of it, and of course he has a right to state his mind, to state his views. But for everything that we've seen about Johnny Manziel, everything that we know, any of us who watched the documentary about him or anything else, for him to write doesn't sit right with my morals and values. I'm asking this honestly. Do you think he was trying to be funny? Like Bubba, that's a very specific choice of words, right? He didn't just say, it seems wrong to me. He said, it doesn't sit right with my morals and values. He is the one who injected his morals and values right into the conversation. That's a fascinating decision for him to make, right? I don't know that anyone could have read that and not found it funny, right? I can't be the only one who looked at that and found it funny, right? I mean, are you laughing because it's funny?
And I'm laughing because it's funny.
It's funny. Bubba, do you think he realized it was funny when he typed it?
No, I think he's 100% serious, doesn't think it's funny at all. And I think there's like three parts to it to me, because I think there's his his thought, which is true, which pretty much every rational person agrees that Reggie Bush should get his trophy back. And then him saying the morals part and morals and values, secondly, which I think is just ironic and ridiculous. And then thirdly, I think the Heisman Trophy people were like, okay, we don't really care what you're like. That is that supposed to be some sort of threat that Johnny Manziel's not going to come anymore? Like, who cares? Like, I think they're looking at that being like, okay, good. We don't have this guy coming anymore. Like, okay, this is going to be what's going to get Reggie Bush's his trophy back because you're not coming anymore? Like, okay.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, even though I'm on this side. I do not believe Reggie Bush should ever have had his trophy taken away
right,
in the first place.
I think most people probably agree with Johnny, but...
But let's see, but I don't necessarily agree. Well, because the very first thing in Johnny Manziel, or somewhere in Johnny Manziel's Twitter, he posted, the last two Heisman Trophy winners made a combined $12 million last year, but Reggie can't get his trophy back. That, to me, is not the best reason. Like, I don't think those things have anything to do with each other. The precedent that has now been set is completely different. The rules changed. So if you believe that Reggie Bush deserved to have his Heisman taken away because he violated rules, the fact that the rules have changed doesn't have any bearing on that. What am I missing there? Like, Bubba, the fact that they have changed, it doesn't mean Reggie Bush didn't break a rule. It doesn't mean that what he did wasn't wrong in the time in which he did it. I want to say again, because people tune in and out all the time, I never thought they should have taken his trophy away in the first place. But I don't think the fact that this is now all legal has anything to do with it. It was definitely not. It was against the rules then, and everyone knew it. So the violation relative to what it was hasn't actually changed, despite the fact that the rule has changed.
Right.
Am I making sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to
yes,
say?
Yes, you're making sense. And the Heisman Trust has come out and said in the past that we would welcome Reggie back to the family. So this is an NCAA thing. The NCAA versus Johnny Manziel. We'll see what other signatures he can find.
Well, I don't understand what you mean. So the Heisman didn't take his trophy away. The NCAA took his
yes,
trophy
away?
Yes,
it's the NCAA. So the USC does not have one, and Reggie Bush does not have one. That's how it works. The school gets one, the player gets one, and the NCAA has both.
Bush tried to get reinstated 3 years ago. The NCAA declined it. The Heisman Trust said they would have welcomed him back.
It's their choice.
It was up to the NCAA. Mm-hmm.
So Manziel's beef is not with the Heisman. It's with the NCAA.
It's with the NCAA.
That's just
but
his public show.
The Heisman.
Yeah.
So do you think he doesn't know this?
So it makes even less sense.
I think it's very likely that he doesn't know this.
I mean, assume he's trying to get other people on board.
Like O.J. Simpson, perhaps?
I feel like we would probably get a lot.
So just a complete boycott of the Heisman.
Yeah. I feel like we would get a lot
or
more
just O.J.
involved in this. I think
maybe
we just need
just
to ask
OJ
Jack. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/greeny, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/greeny now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/greeny.